Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
That's correct. It's time for loose reads here on 95 BFM Breakfast. Thanks to our friends at Time Out Bookstore, Mordena Suri.
Mordena, Mordena, how are you both?
Hi, Suri. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Like, stoked to have like a fourth day of sunshine.
Yeah, I know. The rain's holding out, but I think it's coming in the next few days.
But I reckon when it's raining outside, it's like the perfect time to cuddle up with a book, you know.
Oh,
that is true. That is true.
Nice segue.
It is great reading weather.
Well thanks, done. Millie. Well done, Millie.
Oh, I'm taking my hat off, man.
What have we got to talk about today?
So today we actually will be talking about Parallel Lines by Edward St. Aubyn, who wrote the Patrick Melrose novels, which were turned into a TV series with Benedict Cumberbatch. I actually found the TV show like quite an intense watch, and the book is really intense, but I think like seeing that kind of vivid graphicness on scene is like on screen is like quite intense. But the books are amazing, and yeah, it's sort of what really like marked him as like an author to be watched, because it's this like, you know, completely no it's like autobiographical fiction, following him from the time he's like a child who's like a victim of abuse for like many years in his childhood, starting when he's quite young, and also witnesses the abuse of his mother, who's like kind of like American Grace Kelly figure, married to this like quite wealthy sort of ex-war hero. And yeah, I think that like you can tell from the book, because he goes, yeah, that sort of childhood trauma leads him to being like an addict for most of his adult life. And you can tell that, you know, maybe he had to go through like a lot of therapy. He definitely would have had to go through a lot of therapy during that time to like regain some sense of like a normal life again. And Parallel Lines really, really feels like an exercise, or like maybe a collection of some of the nuggets that he learned in that process of like psychoanalysis and therapy. So it like starts with, so there is like a prequel novel to the book. I haven't actually read the prequel novel. I think you can go into this completely without having like the context of before, but there are some little like character notes where I was like, oh damn, I should have actually read up a little bit earlier.
So no prequel required, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Like if you are someone who likes, like if you're a very detail oriented reader who like feels like a lot of context is really important, I would recommend reading it. But it's a story that holds up on its own, you know, without that.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it opens with, so the central sort of focus of this novel, these twins, Sebastian and Olivia, who were separated at birth and then sort of come together again, and they live extraordinarily different lives. So, Sebastian sort of like goes through like the institutional systems. He goes through foster care, which is like obviously like quite traumatic for him. And then his sister Olivia lives this kind of like beautiful upper middle class life. She's adopted by you know, these doctors, psychotherapists, and she gets to live, you know, this completely sort of like sane, grounded life with like her sane family. And Sebastian, on the other hand, when we encounter him, is like institutionalized after having like a schizophrenic episode. Yeah. And so they live like these completely disparate lives. And there's lots of other characters. Like we go into the lives of like his therapists as well. It's like really quite a sprawling cast of characters for like quite a short book. But I would say that like if you're not in it for the plot, that can make it a really interesting read. Like it's not a plot heavy book, and it does sort of shift between time quite a lot, which can be a little bit confusing, but then he ties it up like really nicely at the end. So yeah, when we meet Sebastian, he's like going through a schizophrenic episode, and he's talking, you know, his like inner monologue is really sort of passing out what is currently troubling in the world. And I think that everyone has like moments of like feeling that anxiety. Like he sort of points to like climate change and COVID and financial collapse. Yeah, totally. Mm. And I think that, you know, it wasn't until I was reading it where I was like, yeah, we totally all think about those things. But when it's like the small seed in your brain that like, you know, maybe you're thinking about it for 10 seconds at a time, hourly, that's already anxiety inducing enough. But this is like what completely consumes Sebastian. Mm. And I think like what's really interesting about his chapter is like, yeah, it kind of goes into, without saying it overtly, it really touches on, and I've like talked about it before, but like Myth of Sisyphus and Camus, I feel like are really prominent on the minds of like lots of writers at the moment. Mm. That talks about how like maybe this is like a rational response to the world around us. Like if you're observing it constantly, whereas Olivia, his twin, is like the opposite. She's like, managed to, even though like she's outwardly rational, she's like completely managed to kind of delude herself into ignoring like what's happening outside of herself. Mm. And like completely ego driven, and some sense of that ego drive is what keeps her sane compared to like her twin. There is so much psychoanalysis in this. Like you can, and it feels, yeah, more than a novel at times, it does feel like an exercise in like psychoanalysis and Lacan and Jung. There's so much, you know, every single character trait that pops up in here, whether it's Olivia or husband or Sebastian or, you know, the doctors, they're all like Martin and his wife Lizzie. They're all people who present like very differently in their lives, but each of their outward traits are sort of like connected to like these deeper childhood and these like sort of deeper childhood and environmental factors that shape them. Like there's a really great part in Olivia's chapter where she's talking about like the difference between her and her husband, her being someone who's like completely grown up with like a community with you know, these safety nets and people constantly around her despite not knowing like her biological parents. Mm-hmm. Compared to her husband, who, you know, sort of grew up in this like alienation and finds like a complete fascination with like networking with people and creating connections between like disparate things. He's a scientist and he's so interested in how like, you know, nature interconnects to like create this like whole singular ecosystem. There's like really beautiful and interesting nuggets in there like that. But sometimes I will say it does feel like the author is speaking outside of the character. It's like feels like breaking the fourth wall to bring in so much like psychoanalysis, maybe.
Yeah.
And but I think that really for me is like personal taste. Like when I was reading this, I was like, I have like four friends who are going to like eat this up, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So I think like it just depends. Like if you like a really insular novel, if you don't mind someone who's like maybe a little bit more experimental with form. And I really see this as like, yeah, and a born of psychoanalysis and psychoanalytic theory. And it's just so steeped in Lacan. Like even like the therapists who are in there are sort of like looking at they're both like scholars of Lacan, and his wife, Martin's wife Lizzie, has kind of been painted in the industry as like a professional quack, you know, for believing in all this stuff. And it feels like the entire novel is about proving the people who consider her a quack wrong, because it is about like well, every outward facing trait that we have as adults is connected to some kind of childhood trauma. Which is, yeah, it's like really interesting, but there is like so much of it in
here. It sounds so twisting.
Sounds like it manages to fit so much in quite a short book.
Totally. And it does mean that you get like, you know, maybe just like glimpses of characters that like fleshed out could have been like more interesting. But I also think that, you know, he's like very clever, and that I guess if you give too much of that away, it also becomes kind of boring to read. Yeah. I don't know.
The thing is, it's like short, sharp and punchy, and it's like you almost get like a slice of someone and you start thinking, oh, what if we fleshed it out more? You can almost flesh it out in your own mind.
That's a good point. Yeah, totally. Like maybe not everything, every little thing has to be said. Maybe that's up to the reader to like... Yeah,
good for the short attention span Reels generation.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I hadn't even thought of that. That's so true. I would actually love to hear a Gen Z perspective on this, because, like, I did wonder, like, you know, I think that, like, Edward St. Aubin was, like, so popular and like one of those like cool edgy writers for like the Gen X generation, you know. There are times where like I loved the Patrick Melrose novels, although they are so intense but so good. But yeah, I was like, I can't tell if this is like maybe like more poignant for like a generation older, or whether it's like because I'm where I'm at my life. Like, he talks so much about stuff like, you know, how like even like the structural confines of like stuff like marriage and having children and having to be like this participating member of society like shapes like our inner selves in a way that might be like ignorant of like, you know, what Freud might have considered like the id. Like, it makes us like subdue like these primal selves, and sometimes that's like a good thing and at other times it's not. But it's just maybe, yeah, I don't know, it'd be so interesting to get like a Gen X, another millennial and a Gen Z to read this and see what they all felt.
Well, there you go, everyone. Cool. Gen Zs, if you're listening, go to Time Out and get yourself a copy of Parallel Lines by Edward St. Aubin.
Yeah, that's right. This and is for my Gen Z readers.
Tell us how you feel about it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Suri.
Thank you, Suri. And thank you, Time Out Bookstore.
My pleasure.
That was Loose Reads.